The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
I'm Natalie Morris and this is The Netball Show with Flyhawk.
The Vitality Netball Super League returns on February the 12th with a 10-match weekend of netball. Every match of the season will be available to watch across Sky Sports, Sky Sports YouTube channel or England Netball's YouTube channel. The new agreement will give the competition its greatest visibility to date and aims to build upon the momentum and audience growth that netball has enjoyed in recent years. Ahead of their first game against Dragons on Saturday, I spoke to Ebony Yusuru-Brown from Team Bath about her hopes for the season, the psychology of playing without a crowd, and the complexities of returning to the game after giving birth.
Okay, so Ebony, thank you so much for joining me today. I know you've got a lot on your plate with the start of the season looming and your baby daughter with you, but thank you so much for being with us today for a chat.
No, thanks for having me.
First of all, I just want to circle back to the Black Roses documentary that you were part of that was fronted by Camilla Buchanan and has just, you know, been such an important discussion to open up in the world of netball. Can you tell me, first of all, why it was important that you were involved in that discussion and why you think we need to continue to have this conversation around race and sport and the contributions of Black netballers as well?
I think obviously after 2020 we saw a big shift in terms of the attitude in and about race, and I think that was obviously led initially by the Black Lives Matter movement, in terms of bringing the subject to the forefront of kind of everyone's peripheral. And I think in terms of when the Camilla approached me in particular in terms about saying she'd like to delve into the history of Black netballers in England, being one of the most current players as well, and obviously with our success in 2018, it's really important to kind of talk about the legacy and the journey of how we got there, because traditionally people of colour in one sense have always been represented more of the Caribbean islands. So to have a team where there was six of us who represent Black players who represented in that 2018 Commonwealth Games squad just shows how far the sport had come. And it, to me, as a Black woman in general, it was, I'm always interested to find out about my roots, and in relation to a sport that I love, it was even more intriguing to me to find out where we started and as to how it's kind of evolved and what it looks like today, but also what the ambitions are for moving forward. And so I was very, very keen to get involved, and it turned into to be a wonderful project. And the fact that I now know more about in terms of where our origin started with Jean Hornsby and where we are today, I think it was absolutely terrific.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, like so many netballers, we've been so absorbed with the sport for such a long time, and these are names that many of us will never have heard of, and we just didn't know this history. So to bring it to the forefront like that was really important and really powerful. How do you think that things have progressed in terms of the experiences of Black players within netball? Obviously, it is something that is constantly, you know, evolving, and people are talking about their own personal experiences of discrimination, of being sidelined, of having, you know, poor experiences at all different levels of all kinds of sport. So where do you think netball fits into that, and where do you think we still need to get to?
I think on the documentary I did explain that I think netball compared to some other team sports in England is probably quite well represented at this moment in time, having black players and even having a number of black captains. However, in terms of, as was described in the documentary, it's taken years and years and years to kind of get to that, even to this stage, where there is a representative group. Not only the national level, but also the pathways. But I think in terms of moving forward, we obviously need more representation at board level. And England Netball in particular, obviously, have just done a diversity inclusion survey and also appointed a board member to specifically look at this topic. Because in one sense, it shouldn't have to be a topic that we're talking about, but it's really good to see that the level of awareness is there to make it more inclusive community, so that the Black players, but not necessarily Black players, but people of all ethnicities can still have such a positive experience within our sport.
Yeah, that's so true. It's very encouraging. And I think you're right in saying that there is really great representation in netball at the moment, which is very encouraging to see. But as you say, there is that other element of the board level. And then also you have to look at the other elements of the structural part of the game, you know, the coaching and the pathways and all these other different people who are involved. How important is it, do you think, that that representation is across the board and isn't just only focused on the players themselves? Because I think throughout sport, that is something you see a lot, is, you know, there's kind of this disproportionate representation of ethnic minority and Black players specifically on the talent side, on the actual performance side of things. And then you kind of look behind the curtain and it's a completely different story altogether. Why is it important that it isn't just at the surface level?
I think it's incredibly important, just the fact that you need to be able to see Black individuals in these positions of like management, in one sense, because they're the ones who be able to affect change. And so I think, similar to what we said in the documentary, in terms of, we've got to the level where you now see Black players in the team, but that's also inspired the younger generation to say, oh, I can do that, I can achieve that, I can actually be like a Red Rose. So if you can see actual Black people, again, in the coaching levels and the management levels, at board level, again, they can affect change to, again, allow that integration and more inclusivity of Black, qualified Black people into those particular roles. So, again, it's more about breaking the ceiling and providing an example that it is possible, it is achievable, and it's not something that's a barrier to us. But I think in terms of it won't happen right. But, again, by having these sorts of conversations and by taking the step of even introducing an inclusion and diversity board or member to the national governing body, at least it's taking one step forward. We hope that in the near future, it will kind of trickle down in terms of coaches, players, and even other roles that may have not necessarily been kind of thought of at this moment in time, and to see whether that diversity can actually be more widespread.
Yeah. One thing that I saw in the reaction to the documentary on Twitter and on social media was a discussion about how Black players are often kind of pushed into the defensive roles in the game. And it's funny because it's something that I've personally noticed throughout my whole time playing. And I just wonder what your thoughts are on that, and if you think that is a thing that happens, whether it's there's some kind of unconscious bias or some kind of underlying kind of stereotypes about what Black athletes bring to the game that kind of leads to that. Is it something you've noticed as well?
It's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because I think when I actually saw that and heard that comment, it made me smile. I don't see it as a negative. I think at the end of the day, sport, and you can't win the game without the attack or the defence. So the role you play, does it really matter whether you're in the forward or whether you're in the back? In terms of our physical attributes, like, I'm Jamaican, of Jamaican heritage, and in one sense we're very much known as, with the Usain Bolts, in terms of our speed, but also in terms of our jumping capabilities, and as a defender, those kind of physical attributes are what actually made me a good defender. So in what it says on my bib, I think that's irrelevant. I think in terms of, am I in the physical capabilities to execute the role in order to be able to contribute to the team? So in one sense, I find it quite shallow, in one sense, to think you have to play if you're Black. I think if I'm good enough, and obviously I'm capable enough, I can play anywhere on the court depending on what my role is and how well I can execute it.
Yeah, of course. I think the kind of the worry is that Black players aren't potentially given that opportunity, that they may be pigeonholed because of assumptions that we will be stronger or more aggressive in a sense, or better at jumping, and those kind of those kind of stereotypes. But like you say, that is, it shouldn't matter, should it? Like, you should be able to play anywhere.
Yeah, but if you look at, you might not necessarily see it at the international level at this moment in time. I think, obviously, Kenny mentioned she might be the only Black goal shooter at the moment within the team. But in terms of the younger ranks, you've got Olivia Tipton, who's playing at London Pulse at the moment. She's an up-and-coming Black shooter. You had Rhea Dixon, who was at Surrey Storm, an up-and-coming Black shooter. And I think in one sense, I think obviously I've just mentioned before, like, it shouldn't be about the colour of our skin as to whether you can play in shooter defence. At the end of the day, if you're representing England, then you're the best in the country. So if they're qualified enough to do it, they will be selected. But there are black players coming through the ranks in the attacking lineup. We just hope to see more as the sport continues to grow.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.